Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Fun, fun, fun show in hour two. Now, I appreciate Joe Hamilton coming on. College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champ as well. He's a Heisman finalist. Appreciate Joe Ham coming on every Thursday, brought to you by Low T Nation. Also, we talked to Seth Emerson about a little UGA football and how the team pivots, because they don't have a choice. They're still going to play the games. They're just going to do at least some of them, most of them, maybe all of them. I don't know. Without George Pickens. So appreciate Seth coming on. In about 10 or so, Roddy Jones, good friend of ours, former Georgia Tech running back, and now with the ACC Network. Be talking ACC fly around kind of during spring right now. And then also bottom of the hour, Jay Tate coming on. Always love talking to JG Tate from Auburn's rival site as the Tigers. It's a not only a really important spring, it is for everybody, but you've got different processes and systems and all kinds of stuff in place there. So, again, appreciate Jay making his time. Right now, let me get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by EcoDerm. Text EcoDerm to 31996 now for your free sample of EcoDerm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
All right, I've got one headline really I'm going to talk about, but it's just going to be kind of talking about it because there are a lot of these headlines and situations swirling around college football right now. And then I'm going to give you some great news. The headline is Texas Longhorns pause spring football practice, not activities. This is important. Texas Longhorns pause spring football practice because of COVID-19. They announced that yesterday. School said in a statement, quote, an abundance of caution as a result of student athletes impacted by COVID-19 protocols. That means that maybe there was a positive or 20 positives. Maybe there were two or three kids from contact tracing. Maybe there were 30. If it involves, I've always said, from a football standpoint, I don't know if this is it. Because with COVID, when we started getting positive tests and the contact tracing, it went beyond position groups in a lot of cases. But you remember what we talked about on this show about a year ago was if, when you don't have offensive linemen, you're not doing anything. Because if you're going to do something, it involves a quarterback. And the only way you're going to put a quarterback out there is if he's protected with it. I'm telling you, folks, coaches tell you non-verbally all the time what really matters. It's offensive line. You ain't got no offensive line. It's the only reason related to a roster that I've ever seen a coach cancel spring practice. We don't have any offensive line. We got like six. So that was always true. With COVID, it just became raw numbers, and let's put a cap on this thing after a little bit of experience and how to deal with it. Here is the issue. I didn't say Texas pauses football activities. I said Texas pauses spring football practice. If I have my rules right, I think you've got 34 days to get all your practices and whatever you want to call them in. I think it's 34 days. But it's 34 days from whenever you start. We just saw Georgia Tech. They paused, not football practice, they paused the beginning of football practice. You know why? Because the second one kid steps on a practice field and there is a coach and a football. It's spelled out, folks. That's literally what it is. Once practice begins, the clock's running. You got 34 days to get it in. So there are programs announcing, hey, we're going to push it back a few days or a week or whatever. They're doing it because they don't want to start that 34-day clock running yet. Texas does not have that choice anymore. They're pausing football practice because they'd already started. It's what it is. First season under head coach Steve Sarkisian. It's a talented roster. This is a tough start. But I just wanted to mention that as the one story today, because you're going to actually continue to see stories like this. Check whether it's football activities or whether it's practice, because if it's practice, they actually could wind up being in the same position they were last year. How many? Oh, we got 9 practices. Oh, really? 9. That's good. Consider yourself up to date. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with my man, Roddy Jones from the ACC Network. That is next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
9 states, 51 sticks, dealing it out 2 hours every single day. I appreciate you coming here for your college football talk. I have said before that running back is the most instinctive position in football, maybe in sports, but in football. I told the story, Eric Dickerson, he was in the NFL, folks, with the Rams. And an NFL play call, which is supposed to be like 23 words long, John Robinson, the coach of the time, he stopped prior. He was like, toss right, toss left. That's all we're doing. He was like, offensive lineman, find the first opposite color jersey, get the guy turned, let Eric run to daylight. I mean, it's 3 words, run to daylight. That's not how it is in the secondary, folks. And that's not how it is on the offensive line. And so when I see people talking about how, well, Clemson throwing a new left tackle, well, Clemson just replaced Arian Kendrick. They got talent. They do have talent. Lots of it spilling over with talent. Secondary and offensive line, it's not like throwing a running back onto a Pro Bowl team. There's a little bit more to it. Like I said, I don't think our next guest will be offended by that. I want to welcome on former ACC running back, and now for the ACC Network, as an analyst, also a radio star on Sirius XM. It is Roddy Jones. Roddy, how are you on this Thursday?
I am great, Chuck. Anytime I get a chance to chat with you, it makes for a good day.
Now, you know what an NFL play call sounds like. It's more than toss right, toss left. That goes to show the instinctive nature of playing running back. It's not true at corner. If you run man coverage, you can lock up and, you know, run with a guy, sure. But you've got to mesh with your teammates back there. And Clemson, they've got changes on the offensive line. They've got changes in the secondary. It's not as easy as just having another talented kid there, is it?
No, it's not. And the offensive line is the bigger concern of the two, because the offensive line, quite honestly, wasn't very good last year. And they're losing their best player in Jackson Carman. Now, they've talked about the fact that they've got some young guys that they really like, and that this offensive line knows that it's a focus and they have to get better. But you're going to have to see it on the field, because when you struggle running the ball with Travis Etienne, like, that is a big deal, because he was one of the most explosive backs in the entire country. The secondary, yes, Arian Kendrick is gone, and he is a fantastic talent. And at times, a really good player, but there was some inconsistency there in the secondary. They've got Andrew Booth. They've got Sheridan Jones. They've got Mario Goodrich at corner. They've got Landon Dickerson. They've got Nolan Turner at safety coming back for his, like, 20th year. So they've got experience back there, but the consistency is a big thing. It's not the safe. It's not the secondary that they had a few years ago with Isaiah Simmons and Kayvon Wallace and Tanner Muse and A.J. Terrell. That was a really versatile unit that could throw a bunch of different looks at you. It's going to be a little more limited, but the corner position is still extremely talented. And Andrew Booth was the number 2 cornerback in the country coming out of high school. behind only Derek Stingley. So they are talented, but that offensive line, I don't know if concerned is the right question, but I am very curious how it comes together.
All right, there are plenty of programs in the ACC, and this is not supposed to be disrespectful, Roddy, in the ACC Atlantic in particular, BC, you know, Louisville, whoever, that can be landmines, that on a particular Saturday, they can beat you. There is no other program currently in the Atlantic that I look at as a real threat to Clemson. That has to be FSU, and that's really the best choice going forward. How far off? Because I can't even talk about it. And I mean this realistically. We can't talk about Florida State in terms of how close they are to threatening Clemson. We need to talk about Florida State getting back to being a real live competitive program on a Saturday by Saturday basis.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there are a few years from that even. Mike Norvell is an excellent offensive football coach. Adam Fuller is an excellent defensive football coach. But both of them struggled at times with their limitations. I mean, that defense especially was incredibly disappointing. And the talent that they're losing, I mean, look at what Janarius Robinson and Josh Kando and Tamarian Terry and Asante Samuel, look at what those guys just did at Pro Day. All of those guys ran sub-4.8, and two of those guys I mentioned ran sub-4.5, and the two that didn't are the defensive ends. So you're not just replacing with the guys that they've got coming in, you're not replacing that level of talent. And that's the level of talent that's needed to compete with Clemson. Now, they can get a lot better from a fundamental standpoint. They can get a lot better from a fit standpoint in terms of what they're doing with the scheme. But you have to have the fit, the scheme, the buy-in, and the talent to beat Clemson. And that happens on the recruiting trail. And we haven't seen it yet. We didn't see it at the end of the Willie Taggart era. We haven't seen it at the start of the Mike Norvell era, which means if you're looking for sort of a bowl team or an upper tier bowl team, you're probably 2 years away. If you're looking for anything more than that, you're at least 3 to 4 years away. So we need to get used to the building process of Florida State, because you kind of that program was close to bottoming out under Willie. It may have bottomed out last year, hopefully for Florida State fans, and now they can build back.
This year's juniors, who are like 6 months from playing their senior year of high school, they were like three when Vince Young did his thing against Southern Cal. So when people, why didn't Texas recruit better? But there's no relevance there. How close is Florida State to still being relevant with like today's 16 and 17 year old 4-star, 5-star prospects?
They're certainly closer. I mean, like, you look at Texas and they don't have they don't have the star power that they once did, especially when you look at the NFL level. Florida State still has that. They're in that window where you still got Jalen Ramsey, you still got Derwin James, and if James Winston has a good year, you've got him, and if Dalvin Cook has a good year, you've still got him, and Cam Akers. Like, you've still got guys that you can trot out for some of these recruits for that relevance. But I mean, when them winning a national championship is, what, 7 years ago, 8 years ago at this point? So we are getting some distance from them. So I think they're still close. The issue that Florida State has that Texas really doesn't is Texas is always going to be the premier institution in that state. Florida State is always going to be, at best, fighting for one and probably number two to the University of Florida. And then you go down to South Florida, and it's like an entirely different state where you're having to compete with Miami. So from a recruiting standpoint, Florida State has to go back to coming into Atlanta, to dominating South Georgia, which they did during that run with Bobby Bowden, and then getting guys in the state of Florida as well, competing with Florida and Miami. So it's an interesting recruiting philosophy that you have to have at Florida State that Texas doesn't really have to deal with. Like, they should be able to go in, flop down the fact that they're Texas, and everybody wants to go there because everybody grows up a Texas fan, especially in Central and East Texas.
Roddy, let's go down to South Florida. You hear anything so far about De'Aaron King?
I have heard that he is ahead of schedule. Now, what that means, we don't know. They are expecting him back for the beginning of camp, which is good. It's all good news. That's the only news that we've heard, which is big for that program because he is one of the top two or three quarterbacks. I'd say maybe three or four quarterbacks in the ACC coming into the season. He's a game changer.
I'm going to go up to Chapel Hill real quick. Well, I had Mac on like the day after, 2 days after he got hired, and he swore he was like, because I asked a question about, you know, coming out of retirement to sort of rejuvenate the program. You know, we don't say coach in waiting anymore. And he was like, I'm here. He's like, this is not just a transition sort of thing. I told him, I was like, I don't believe you. We'll see how it turns out. And he kind of laughed, but this looks like it's permanent. And he's getting five-star kids now, including Grimes last year and another one for this year. This looks like I was way wrong. I thought he was going to show up, restock the talent, and then they were going to, quote, hire the real Coach Roddy. There's nothing to make me think that's what it is a year in.
No, he is fully committed. And in talking to him both a couple years ago when he first got the job and last year, he was excited to take this job. He was anxious to get back into coaching. He would only do it for a few opportunities. He loves North Carolina. He loves that school. I think he loves what it brought them, which it brought he and his family some great times. It obviously propelled him to the University of Texas, which propelled him into his career after. So I think he's appreciated North Carolina, really wants to see them and sees them as a school that can be at the top of the ACC. And you're right, Chuck. I mean, they are stockpiling the talent. We had the Florida State conversation. Well, Carolina's been doing that since Mac got there, getting five-star guys. When you look at a guy like Tony Grimes, who gave up his senior season of high school football to go play at North Carolina and played last fall when he should have been a high school senior and got a lot better. I think the improvement that they're going to make on defense this year is going to be very, very significant. And then you look at the offense, and while I'm not convinced they will be as good offensively as they were a year ago, mainly because of the loss of those two running backs, I think that they could be close to that. And if they are close to that and the defense is significantly better, then that's a scary football team coming out of the Coastal.
Yeah, and when he got hired, the first thing he did was swipe the quarterback out of Willie's class, right. and he has not stopped.
How big is that? Like, people who say recruiting doesn't matter, Sam Howell flips from Florida State to North Carolina. Look at where North Carolina is, and look at where Florida State is.
And where Willie is. He's not in Tallahassee anymore. Real quick, I want to ask you, and I don't know if you watched this kid very much because he was in the SEC, but you mentioned Carter and Williams heading off for paychecks. God bless them. Ty Chandler, though, comes in, and that is a pretty tough kid that I liked watching at Tennessee. We got a couple of minutes left. Any impression on Ty Chandler or how a running back with his skills is going to fit in that offense?
Yeah, I think the versatility that he brings certainly will fit in that offense. The question that I have is those guys had been in that offense and fit so well and just kind of had that chemistry with Sam Howell, you know, on broken plays to be able to dump it off to him. That's also what made them special. But I think Ty Chandler, from a skill set standpoint and from a reputation, bona fide standpoint, you get recruited to Tennessee to play running back, you're a pretty talented dude. You put up numbers in the SEC, you're a pretty talented dude. And Phil Longo is going to find a way to take advantage of that. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I think it was a great move for both sides, really. North Carolina bringing in a guy who has experience, who can catch the football out of the backfield, which is really big for them, is used to pass pro in the SEC, which means you are not going to be surprised by anything that's thrown at you in the ACC. So I like the move for both of those two guys, for both the guy and the school. I'm cautious about saying that he is going to fill in for Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, but I think really highly about those two guys. I think they are really good backs, and I can't wait to see him in the NFL. But I think Ty Chandler is a good fit.
Yeah, you must have been doing the North Carolina-Miami game. That was just an unbelievable display by both of them that day, and as well as all season. Roddy, always appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on, man.
Of course, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
All right, Roddy Jones again. Get him on Twitter at RoddyJones20. And, yeah, Ty Chandler, they've also got a freshman coming in that they're looking to divvy up the workload because, yeah, as he said, that's not the kind of thing where, hey, we got 2,300 yards last year plus some receptions and piles of touchdowns. Hey, Ty Chandler, you went from being part of at one point for, who was it, Jordan? Yeah, before Jordan got dismissed and Gray was there. He's part of a three-back rotation. But we're going to put all this on you. That wasn't going to happen. And so it'll be Ty Chandler and I believe a freshman, as well as, you know, whatever returning letterman they have that may want to jump in the mix as well. So there are going to be plenty of options there as Matt continues to build on his first couple of seasons there. He and Les Miles came in together. Ain't turning out the same way.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's time to talk Auburn football or to disrespect members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We turn to one source from the Auburn Rival site. He's the publisher. He knows what's going on the plains. It is J.G. Tate. J.G., how are you, brother?
Chuck, awesome to be on your show and your airwaves again, sir. Thank you.
I always appreciate you carving out some time. There is a lot of excitement about the potential of Mike Bobo working with Bo Nix, and there's all sorts of stories about under center and a fullback and 21 and, you know, personnel and all of this. What's your general idea about how this is going so far and what the potential for it to work out with Bobo and Bo Nix?
Yeah, I think it's going to work out. I do. I think Bo Nix is a good quarterback. I don't think he was good last year. And I don't know if I've ever seen at Auburn, and I've been here, I don't know, 25 years or so, I've never seen such a polarizing player. It's weird because Bo himself is not polarizing at all. But it's like I think Auburn people want him to be great. He hasn't been there yet. And it's like you have this huge tidal wave of people that are like, he'll never be good ever again. And then you've got the people who are like, he's going to be Cam Newton. And it's like there's no middle ground anymore. I think he's going to be solid. I am the middle ground. But I think this offense, if you're expecting innovation, I don't think it's going to be there. I think if you're smart, you're going to use Tank Bigsby because I think he's an absolute legend. And I think they're just going to run the football and let this defense do what it does. I just don't expect a lot of innovation, and therefore I think Bo's going to be just totally average, which is okay.
I had somebody ask me, I guess it was about 16 years ago, why is Cadillac so good? And I said, you're not going to like the answer. I don't know. I thought more about it, and I thought Cadillac, more than anything, he had great vision. He never seemed to take those huge shots. I see some of that in Tank Bigsby, that he has really good vision, which is instinctive for a running back, and he seems to always get the extra yard or two but avoid the big hits as well. That's just part of his package. What's your observations about what makes him so good?
Yeah, I think they're different, though. I mean, Cadillac, to me, was a leaner player. He definitely had that never-say-die attitude, which I think he would have been better to curb that a little bit.
Sure.
I remember talking to Joe Cribbs back when Carnell was in his prime at Auburn, and he was like, man, I wish he didn't take so many hits. I don't think he has the size to repel them. And sure enough, Carnell went down with a season-ending injury that season, and
shoulder.
He did that twice. Yeah, he had a leg, and then he had a shoulder as well. But, I mean, you got to give Carnell credit. Never-say-die was his attitude, and he's instilling that in the tailbacks that he works with. Tank Bigsby is a bigger dude. He's a much thicker dude, and he delivers a lot of punishment that Carnell never could. I do agree with you that he has very good vision, and Tank understands the fights he can win and the fights he can't win just because it's 3-on-1 or whatever, just like Carnell did. But he will not go out of bounds, Tank won't. And I think he's just the kind of guy that if you're an offensive lineman or if you're just a teammate, you love seeing him out there because he really does lay it on the line. And I think he's incredibly talented. I think he's going to be a huge star this year.
All right, I will say, and by the way, this is not a criticism, but when I saw – in fact, let me take that back. When you described to me, hey, Auburn signed a running back, well, tell me about him. Well, he's about 5'8", and he's a sprint champion from the state of Florida. I was like, oh, I know what he is. He's this little water bug, jittery, shake and bake. Sean Shivers is about as tough as any running back Auburn's had in, I don't know, 10 years, and he doesn't have a lot of shake and bake for a kid who is that size – and that sprint ability. He's been an interesting contradiction. He's a good player, and he's useful. He's just a lot different than what I was expecting.
Yeah, he's like Corey Grant was maybe 6-7 years ago. Straight line speed, as you mentioned, very, very tough. Not scared of anything, sometimes to his detriment, but not a lot of lateral agility and not a lot of cut ability. He just kind of has to have a lane and then accelerate through it. He has kind of limited applicability on a football field, honestly. It almost works better as a slot guy or if he gets some soft coverage, you can hit him, and then he can just start going one direction and just stick with it. I don't know where he fills in here, and I also don't think Auburn's finished at tailback. I would not be surprised at all to see them go after like a grad transfer or some kind of a transfer to come in and help them right away. I think they really like their depth, and they like their young guys, but there's kind of this middle ground between Tank and everybody else. And Shivers, I definitely think he has a role, but I don't think it's as the number two.
Okay, well, interesting, because you have a returning senior who's played a lot of football. You have who I believe is as good a running back as there is in the conference, and that's a major accomplishment for Tank, if that's true. But and you're talking about the need to add transfers. All right, well, what do you think about wide receivers then? Because there's no Bigsby or Shivers out there.
No, they don't have that number one, but I love that they have some dudes that I think are twos right now that may be able to jump up. Elijah Kenyon. I think Kobe Hudson's really good. They've got a kid who came in as a late guy last year named Malcolm Johnson Jr. That's a name you're going to be hearing a lot this fall, I believe, assuming he doesn't get injured. He's going to be like super, super fast, like the new Anthony Schwartz.
Is he the kid out of Virginia, or is that somebody else?
He is. Okay. He's out of Virginia, absolutely. He's as fast as Anthony Schwartz, I'm telling you.
What?
And I think he'll be able to apply that speed better on the field.
He's like as fast as Anthony Schwartz is going to go over to Europe and run track, that sort of fast.
Yeah, I think Malcolm Johnson has that, but I think he's more committed to football all the way.
All right, well, let's jump up front. And I'm seeing a lot of coverage about early in practice. We're just going to try to find out what we have, not who we have, what we have up front at all different positions. And I could tell Brian Harsin, I've seen like five different pieces about how we're trying to mix and match. We're not really going to lock a guy in. I'm like, you ain't got no answers, dude. And it's not because he's sifting through the right ones. And I'm not trying to be crappy towards anybody. This is a tough spot to build your first team from this collection of offensive linemen. It's a miscast group a little bit. What's your take on how it's going through spring?
Yeah, it's gone okay. I mean, we know what the situation is. Like Gus had this weird thing for guards and centers, and he just was scared of tackles or something. He hadn't signed a high school offensive tackle in like 5 years. Harsin snapped that the other, you know, on signing day. Yep. So I don't really know. And of course, the troll Auburn people. One of the first things that Gus did when he went to Central Florida is get a commitment from a high school left tackle, but whatever. They have a shortage there, particularly a left tackle, and I don't like their options. I still don't like their options. I thought they would go on the grad transfer market, but it seems like they've kind of said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to roll with what we got at tackle, which is kind of weird to me, but they're going to try to get some mileage out of Brennan Coffey, number 55, who played right tackle last year. They say he's gotten bigger and quicker. I'll believe it when I see it. And then the left tackle, man, your guess is as good as mine. We're just going to see if they can figure something out.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. There's like three spots we've hit on offense so far where Auburn may hit the grad transfer portal. We're not even going to talk about defense because I want to wrap up with tight end. You talk about the biggest air out of the balloon, maybe in the entire conference last year, in a season where that's all it was, hey, Auburn brought in Coach Morris. They're going to throw to the tight end. It's going to be a new point of emphasis, et cetera. Well, there was some action to the tight end, but it certainly wasn't any sort of revelation. Where does Auburn sit at that that position?
Well, I've been hearing about this since Tubb got here, and that was a long time ago, talking about his new Rufus French and all that kind of stuff. They're talking that game. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Bobo was saying the other day, you're going to see some two tight end sets, maybe some three tight end sets. They certainly have a nice collection of guys in Luke Deal. You got the Fromm kid. You've got the kid out of Texas, Brandon Frazier.
What does Pegues count as? Oh, that's what I was going to
I don't know. He has remarkable agility for a kid his size. He's 300 pounds. So I think he might end up being kind of like a Jerome Bettis maybe. And sneaking in and getting some carries there at tailback. I don't know, but they like him and they want to use him.
Wrapping up with J.G. Tate, and that was what I wanted to ask you about the transfers. How many spots do you imagine? I'm sure you've done the math. You and your colleagues have done the math every way to Sunday. How many spots, if any, does Auburn have open, and where do you think they're going to prioritize? Because like everybody else, they want offensive linemen, but they also need receivers and maybe a running back. And
yeah,
defense.
I think they have three max, probably more like two, and they don't think they don't need an offensive tackle. They don't think that. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
So I don't think it'll be there. I think it'll be a tailback, and I don't know about the other one. I just don't know. There's too many different places, but I do think they're going to try to get another tailback. I really do.
Well,
JG, I appreciate you just dropping the knowledge today, man. It's fantastic. This is why you got the blue check, brother. Follow him on Twitter at JG Tate. We will have you back on again soon, man. Thank you.
See ya.
All right. Straight from the plains, JG Tate from the Auburn Rival site.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I think it's unhealthy for college football to encourage intra-conference transfers. Now, that doesn't mean that we're against people being able to transfer to other institutions, any other institution we want. I think that's that rule obviously has been changed. I think it was a good rule to change. And, you know, now players could have the ability and freedom, as they should, to be able to go to any school they want.
Well, that's Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley, and he is talking about, Chad Morris. He's referring to Chandler Morris, who's a quarterback recruit at Oklahoma, and actually signed a scholarship player there, wanting to transfer to Texas Christian, which, of course, is within the same conference. And if this seems like a little bit of a time warp, Was it Danny O'Brien, the quarterback at Maryland, who wanted to transfer? And James Franklin was not going to let him transfer to wherever it was. He was Wisconsin or somewhere. It was Randy Etzel, actually, or whoever. It was Randy Etzel. And wouldn't let him go to his old coach at Vanderbilt, James Franklin, or one other place. And that's 10 years ago, folks. Danny O'Brien had been, I think, the ACC. Nobody knows who that is. He was ACC Freshman of the Year, quarterback at Maryland. And I don't think he started even as a senior, or maybe even as a junior, got hurt or something. But he was the flashpoint for all this. Why are you restricting the kids? This seems like a story from like at least 5 years ago, but it's not. And Lincoln Riley is saying, no, we've got rules for a reason. Now, I will give you Chuck's personal opinion. If you want to discourage kids from transferring, most often it's going to be either you don't like dirty pool, like another coach recruiting your current players. And so I've always understood that line of reasoning. But you also don't want to have to re-recruit 85 kids. Okay, now we're going to jump back in what matters, because I've told you what should be. And one of the biggest life lessons, in fact, take down that list on the side of the fridge. We've got what should be. You know, we got life rules. We've got sports rules, life rules. Don't get bogged down in what should be. Live your life based around what is. Should be that you get somebody and they give their commitment. Should be. It's, come on. 18, 19, 20, kids who don't play sports, how often do they transfer? Well, you throw sports into the mix as well, it's 15 more variables. So I'm dealing with reality. I'll agree with Lincoln Riley on what should be, but and the fact that it makes it a logistical nightmare for coaches, absolutely. I don't think anybody really wants. Now, again, I will state that as a fact. It creates a lot of logistical and planning hurdles for whoever's in charge of the program. That's a fact. Here's another fact. Nobody cares how much more difficult the life of the coach making $6 million a year is. Nobody wants to hear that. So that is Lincoln Riley talking about the transfer within the conference. And so if he wanted to transfer to Southern Methodist, that's fine. But he wants to transfer to TCU, and that's not fine. They're 20 minutes apart. So If you're going to wear a white and red shirt, that's fine. If you're going to wear a white and purple shirt, that's not fine. It's one of those stances that is getting more and more difficult to really follow through that conversation. So, like I said, it seems like it's a little bit out of place, and I understand what Lincoln Riley's saying and why. And I agree with him. What he's saying is accurate. It's irrelevant. It's like walking outside in the middle of a rainstorm saying, this is ruined, a perfectly good day. We had a doubleheader scheduled, and I just washed my car. Oh, that's accurate. I agree, brother. Not relevant. And what would you like to do about it? My goodness gracious. Let me go ahead and wrap this up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Wherever you are in the Deep South, whether it's Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, wherever, need legal expertise, you need Alexander Shannara and Associates. There is a term, used to be draft death for a prospect. Now it's what I think every NFL team is after. Every NFL team is after multiple of this type of player who it used to be the last thing you wanted. At some point, tweener became hybrid. And NFL teams can't get enough of it. A tweener, if you don't know what a tweener was, it's mostly on defense, sometimes on offense. He's too big to be a wide receiver, doesn't run fast enough. Maybe he's a tight end. No, he can't block. He can't anchor the run. If you have any tight end anchor the run, you got an issue. But mostly it's defense. Mostly it's a guy who he's a tweener. Is he a defensive end or an outside linebacker? Well, he's not big enough to play on the line, not fast enough to play a linebacker. Is he a safety or a corner? Well, he's not big enough to play. You get it. Tweeners. And you didn't want to be a tweener. It suddenly become a hybrid. And NFL teams cannot get enough of you. And cross-training has become positional ambiguity. As teams want as many, mostly their defenders, teams want as many of their defenders able to operate in as many different positions as reasonably possible. Three reasons for this. First, less likely to get caught out of position on defense if corners can be safeties. Safeties can step into the front seven or make it a front eight. If an outside linebacker can be that fourth or fifth rusher, okay, all of that means you're less likely to get caught out of position. You have more ability to adjust to formations and personnel if you didn't sub or couldn't sub. It also can cover up for injuries on a Saturday by Saturday basis, Sunday by Sunday basis in the league, but also more versatility within the roster. Now this is about these kids getting paid, okay? Like Jacoby Stevens at LSU, he's a guy's like he's a linebacker. No, he's a safety. Well, the NFL is going to love him doing something because he run around and hit people, but he also can sort of ish coverage. More versatility gives an NFL team more opportunities to discover that a backup is actually a starter. And that means cheap labor for a couple of seasons. So if you've got a guy that has settled into a career as a backup safety, he's a fourth rounder, he's in his second year, and suddenly you play him in the box and you realize we got a starting safety for the starting linebacker for 2 years for cheap pay. That's what the NFL, some of these kids are going to get paid. Some of them are going to get drafted higher. Some of them are going to get better contracts. Some of them are going to get second contracts where the real money is because of positional versatility, because they're a hybrid, because they're no longer what the NFL used to hate, a tweener. Consider yourself up to date. That is my closing argument brought to you by the law offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. No matter where you are in the South, you need them. You got him. Alexander Shannara and Associates. What up, Dan?
You know why NFL teams love tweeners, right? Is when it comes to contract time and it comes to franchise tagging time, that's why. Yeah. It's because whichever group is paid less or do less, then they can argue in terms of, I don't know necessarily if there's arbitration, but they can say, well, no, you're a linebacker, so we're going to pay you linebacker money.
Yeah, the franchise tag for a tight end is a lot less than a receiver.
Exactly. I mean, and that's how the Kyle Juszczyk's of the world are available. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, if it was when he was in Baltimore or when he was in San Francisco, I think it was in San Francisco, that Kyle Shanahan tried to say that. No, he's an offensive weapon. Like, we can't pay him as a tight end or a receiver. He's his own type of player. I mean, the Anthony Fasanos, the list goes on and on. I mean, the H-back position, that's how it was created, was because you had guys who, well, they're too probably tall to be a fullback, but they're also not fast enough to be a tight end. So let's just create this position for them. Lincoln Riley is everything in sports that honestly I cannot stand. And college football kind of wades into these waters, but you're a baseball fan like myself. Yeah. And we usually get the people in baseball who do exactly what Lincoln Riley just did. The integrity of the game. You know who worries about having the integrity of the game insulted, Chuck? Losers. And have the integrity of the game insulted, and it bothers them so much. And it's also, too, in society now, we have gotten to the point where, like big boys and girls, we can't use our words and we can't use our expressions to actually tell people how we feel and actually be able to express ourselves in a positive and really a manner that is of adults. So we prey on the emotions of people, and that's what I feel like he's kind of doing right here, is I and the leadership and everybody just feel like it's not great for the game of college football for a quarterback who's never going to play for us to go within the conference and play for somebody else. It's just not good for the integrity of the game. Another case in point for the quote-unquote losers in sports is everybody coming after the Astros last year for, this is the worst scandal to ever hit the game. I cannot believe it. Take away the World Series. Everything they have done is just completely ruined the game of baseball. You know who are the people saying that? Yankee fans, Dodger fans. Who are those people? They were the ones who lost to them. And then last year, conveniently, once they got to the ALCS, they didn't have much to say. I just don't necessarily understand dying on this hill for a player the like of Chandler Morris. I'm sure he's a fine enough player. I'm sure he's a good enough player. I just don't understand the old saying, is the juice worth the squeeze? I, for me, am not thinking that it's worth the squeeze to go after a guy that is trying to get out of his scholarship at your school to go somewhere else, and for you to do this whole, oh, the integrity of the game, it's not good for college football for us to allow this to happen. I got bad news for you, Lincoln. It's going to happen whether you like it or not, because the NCAA is going to tell you it's going to happen. And just like the ACC did, I'm sure soon enough Bob Bowlesby is going to release a nice little piece of paper that says interconference transfer is not only allowed, it is going to happen.
Yes, it could be Spencer Rattler, and it'd be the same outcome versus, second, third, fourth string quarterback who may never play. I don't know anything about Chandler Morris. I know he ain't as good as Spencer Rattler, and he knows it as well. That's why he's leaving. It could be Spencer Rattler, and it's going to turn out the exact same way. In fact, I hope, we've got an app, and so I hope Coach Riley is listening on the app. Again, I ain't talking about what's right. I'm talking about what is. And I don't has he announced yet that he's actually going to let the kid transfer?
I have not seen
today?
It. No, I have not seen it.
All right, well, he's going to. Like I said, I ain't even checked the story this morning because I know how it's going to turn out. This is not worth updating. At some point, you'll see a headline on the crawl. Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley release quarterback from, commitment and can transfer wherever. You're going to see that. It may be taken out of his hands, you're right, at the conference level, but I know how this is going to end. It's just a matter of how long it takes to get there, and that's up to Lincoln Riley. All right, wraps it up on the Thursday, folks. Great to be back. Give me 22 hours. I will recharge the batteries, and I will be back tomorrow with more college football conversation on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamJack.com.